Good morning. I think this morning, probably what I want to do is to build on much of what Rob has already been sharing and encouraging us with. We're going to finish our teaching series in 1 Thessalonians. If anybody wants to go and grab a Bible, please do so now. In a few moments, we're going to be reading from page 1188. We're in 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to be starting in a few moments at verse 12. But you might also have your phones or some other device that you want to use and follow the passage through with. It's great that Rob's been talking about encouragement and people, because the words that I've got in the opening part of this talk, this sermon, whatever, is personal relationships can be quite tricky. They can, can't they? They can be quite tricky. In the workplace, in our family life, where we socialise, they can even be tricky in church. And as I read through these final verses in this letter that Paul wrote to a very new and young church in Thessalonica, the question that jumped out at me, or jumped out to me, was, what do you notice in other people? And that's going to be my question this morning. What do you notice in other people? My daughter Jess is very quick to notice if I change the colour of my lipstick or if I wear something that I've not worn before. I have to drop hints to my husband if I'm going to the hairdresser, even if I've changed the colour of my hair. But he's really much more sensitive to the way I'm feeling. And my daughter Jess, maybe a little less so. Sometimes we notice what's important to us, but other times we notice what we've got time to notice. So Monday we had a quieter cafe, and at the end of cafe, Val and I both observed what a good morning it felt it had been. We'd seen some really lovely group dynamics going on, and as we looked out over the room, we kind of sensed these really brilliant conversations going on. Sometimes what we notice is what we've got time to notice. The pace of life that we live at can sometimes interfere with what we notice. Sometimes God will bring our attention to something that he wants us to notice. So the other day I was invited to be part of a story on Heart Radio. They were doing a feature on food banks and food shortage and that kind of thing. And so I had a little Zoom call with a journalist on the radio. On Wednesday afternoon, someone from our local air traffic control department organisation brought in 21 bags of food. She said each shift, and they work several shifts there, you'll be glad to know, each shift was asked to do something for a local charity. We were going to collect for our local food bank, and then we heard you on the radio, and we decided to bring our food here. Isn't that cool? Isn't that amazing? God led that person to notice something that he wanted them to notice. The Apostle Paul, in these verses that we're going to look at, identifies a number of areas of church life where we can notice things in order for us to live well together. So we're going to turn to the Bible. We're going to start at verse 12, and we're going to go through to the end of the chapter, and in fact, the end of this letter. So Paul writes, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not preach prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and body be kept blameless at the coming of our last Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So, in these verses, there's probably about six sermons at least, and I've got one. So I'm going to try and work through some of it at least. Paul starts with leaders. And the first thing he says about leaders is church, know them. Now, he uses the word know in a particular way that doesn't mean that we've got to be best buddies with our leaders. What he's asking the church to do is to know the worth of their leaders. Paul's asking the church to come to a full understanding of the character and the work that the leaders do. And he's not just talking about church staff. He's talking about our volunteer leaders. He's talking about our small group leaders, those who head up various ministries and teams throughout the church. He's talking about those who are on the leadership team. Paul says, respect your leaders. So what do we see in our leaders that help us value them? What do we see in our leaders that help us respond warmly towards them? I love the Message Bible and the way Peterson paraphrases. In this context, he says that we should overwhelm them, meaning leaders, we should overwhelm them with appreciation and love. And he's not talking about bringing them chocolate, although that's not a bad start. The essence of what's being said here relates to our attitudes towards those who are in leadership positions. So, do we just notice what our leaders say and do and react to that? Or do we see who they are? Do we just notice their weaknesses and when they mess up, find ourselves criticising them? Or do we see their love for God? Do we just notice how well they know their Bible and challenge them on that? Or do we see their ongoing relationship with Jesus? Do we just notice when their ideas clash with our ideas? Or do we notice the way the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives? Paul encourages us to love leaders in the church that goes way beyond whether we've got a personal liking for them or whether we're best mates with them. He says, notice your leaders for who they are, and as we started off our service this morning, and encourage them. Leaders are the first people that Paul asks us to notice in these concluding verses of this letter. Paul then moves from leaders to the wider church, and he starts with those who are described as being idle and disruptive. There was a particular issue in the church back then. People were expecting Jesus to return in their lifetime, and some of them had given up work. And that meant that there was a financial burden put on those who were still working. And Paul urges everyone to pull their weight by having a job. So for those that had given up work, he says, basically, get back into the workplace if you can. And the language he uses also has a military feel to it. Just as, like a soldier who fails to follow instruction might be described as unruly or out of line, Paul calls the church to be obedient to the way they're making a contribution to church life. And whilst he might have been referring to something fairly specific back in his day, I think it's appropriate for us to pause for a moment and to ask ourselves, what am I contributing to church life? Am I praying for the church? Am I giving financially to what goes on here? Am I involved in some way by serving? And as we ask those questions of ourselves, what do we notice within our own spirit? What do we notice within us? And who do we notice around us in terms of the skills they've got, the gifting they've got, the experience they've got, the potential they've got? How are we contributing, and who are we noticing that could also be contributing to the life of the church in new ways or in different ways? You see, when we get involved in church life, whether it's praying for the church, whether it's giving, whether it's serving, whether it's encouraging other people, we notice people. But Paul challenges in this and says, do you notice everyone? Paul says, notice those who are disheartened and encourage them. He says, notice the weak in faith and help them. Notice who's upset us and forgive them rather than try and get even with them. Finally, he says, notice where you can do something good for one another and for others that even aren't in the church. Paul is saying, notice everyone. Have a particular eye open for some, but notice everyone. And I wonder, do we see everyone in our church? A second group of people that Paul says notice is rather large, isn't it? And if we include those on the fringe of our church life, that's even bigger. And it could feel really burdensome. And so it feels like Paul takes a little step out from notice these people and notice these people and notice these people. And I think he gives us some really helpful principles to lighten the burden of doing what he's just asked us to do. So I think he gives us three principles that we can put into life, into our life with one another. The first is to rejoice in all that Jesus has done for us. To remember what he's done, to be filled with joy at our salvation. See the privilege of doing life with the Holy Spirit who lives within us. You see, when we're able to do that, and when we celebrate what God has done for us, somehow it makes it easier to see the best in other people. It lightens the load. It takes out some of the work of seeing good in those around us. The second principle that he encourages us to undertake is to pray. And I don't know about you, but it's very much harder to moan about someone and to stay in that moaning place when I'm talking about them to God. Funnily enough, in my Bible in a Year notes today, I read a story that Nicky Gumbel shares, and he says that he came across a priest who always started his prayers moaning, but he didn't finish his prayers moaning. And of course we see that in Psalms, don't we? How many times does the psalmist start his psalm by moaning, by pouring out his heart to God about all the things that aren't right? But as he prays, as he shares, so things get turned around. You see, when we pray for people and when we pray about people, the Holy Spirit has a wonderful way of changing what we notice about them. And sometimes the Holy Spirit has an uncomfortable way of helping us notice things about ourselves. God's currency is compassion, it's mercy, it's grace. And that's what he gives to us when we pray for one another. When God is involved in who we notice, no matter how challenging it is, he changes the tone. So our second principle is to pray, and that will lighten the challenge of noticing people. Principle three is to give thanks in all circumstances. And this is so difficult when our circumstances are really difficult, when they're far from what we would like them to be, when our mental health takes a dip because of what's going on within us or around us. We can be thankful that God is with us in that low place. He's promised to be there. When we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, we can be thankful that God is our rock. He's our place of safety. He's our source of wisdom. When we feel that we failed in somewhat of a catastrophic way, we can be thankful that it's God's nature to forgive us, to be merciful. He's slow to anger and quick to bless. Giving thanks won't necessarily change the circumstance, but it will change our attitude and it'll change our approach while we're in that challenging place. So these three life principles are so helpful to us as we notice those around us and as we notice what's going on within us as well. So it feels like after Paul has given us those three principles, he then jumps back into and notice. So he comes on to, if you like, this third person he wants us to notice. And that's the work of God through the Holy Spirit. He says, don't quieten, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't dismiss how the Holy Spirit speaks out. It might be in pictures, it might be through scripture, it might be through something that we hear, it might be a sense that we have, a feeling. Paul says, notice. Notice what the Holy Spirit is doing and where he is at work. And so in our worship, we welcome prophetic words, pictures and scriptures. Sometimes we need to pause when we're worshiping in order to allow God to speak, holding a moment, anticipating that God is going to give us something that we need to listen to. Paul says, notice what the Holy Spirit is doing and don't quieten the Holy Spirit in worship. But also, we have to be careful that we don't miss the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who are around us. And so I've kind of looped back to that opening question that I started with. What do we notice in other people? The Bible tells us that we're made in the image of God. And when we become a Christian, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, lives within us. And so I wonder, do we notice one another as people who are made in the image of God? Do we see one another created in His image? And do we notice what the Holy Spirit is doing in people? How He's changing them? How He's moving us from this place to a new place? Do we see it going on? I'm always very grateful that I'm quite forgetful when it comes to people's story. And sometimes someone will share a story that they've shared before, and I will react almost as though I'm hearing it for the first time. And then ting, 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 something will go on in my brain and I think, oh, maybe I've heard this before. And I'm grateful for that gift. Pastorally, it's not really very helpful at all. I ought to remember your grandmother's second name and all the rest of it. I really should, but I can't. But I'm grateful for the gift because it means that when you tell me that story from today's position, I forget all of the detail of where you were when you perhaps told it to me 6 months ago. And it means that I don't need to hold on to where people were as much as I could do. Does that make sense? It's much easier to see somebody for who they are today. And I don't forget everything you've told me. I'm not that horrendous. I do remember stories, and I do remember your name sometimes, and so on and so forth. But I'm illustrating, that character kind of flaw in some ways as being a strength, because it makes it easier for me to hold you in the present day rather than hold you in the past. And I wonder whether you've come across people that have held you in the past. They remember who you were, and that's how they kind of talk to you. That's how they see you. That's how they treat you. And Paul is encouraging us not to hold people where they once were, but to see that the Holy Spirit is changing us and moving us, sometimes slowly, sometimes speedily, but the Holy Spirit's changing us into new people. So how good are we at seeing what God is doing in the work of those people that are in our church? I had the privilege the other day of going to a day retreat led by someone called Sharon Garlow Brown. And she's the author of the book Sensible Shoes. I'm afraid it's very much a more female written book than maybe male. But I would recommend it to you as a book to read. It's a story of kind of our spiritual pathway. But at this conference, she reminded me of a Zulu greeting. And I'm not going to pronounce it properly. Sawubona? Sawubona. Excellent. I should have done my research. Yeah. And this greeting means, I see you. It means, I see you. And the response is, I see you too. And actually, this lady sort of pushed it a little bit further, and she said, I see you seeing me. That's really beautiful, isn't it? I suspect many of us came in this morning and said, hiya, I'm Avis, how you doing? I didn't, actually. But if I had, you'd have gone, fine. Yeah. Wouldn't it have been different if I'd come in and said, Mavis, I see you. and maybe said to me, I see you too. It's powerful, isn't it? It's really powerful. I see you. I see you too. I see you seeing me. What difference would it make if we greeted one another that way? It's so full of dignity. It's so full of respect. There's nothing rushed. There's nothing quick. There's nothing automatic about that. Because if we say, I see you, I have to look at you just for a moment. Our eyes have to meet, and the connection goes so much deeper. It's a greeting that strengthens relationship. And it's a greeting that starts to encourage us to relate to one another in the way that God relates to us and how he wants us to relate to each other. What would it feel like to hear somebody say, I see you. I see the whole of you. I see your experience. I see your passions. I see your pain. I see your strengths. I see your weaknesses. I see your future. You're valuable to me. Wow. It's what God says to us. It's what God is whispering over each and every one of us. I see you, the whole of you. Your experiences, your passions, your pain, your strengths, your weaknesses, your past, your present day, your future. You are valuable. It's what God speaks over each and every one of us. And he calls us to be a church that speaks that over each other. If our greeting changed from, hi, how are you doing, to, I see you, it would break all the social contract, or all the social constructs that kind of boundary us in. And some of us are crying out to be seen in that way. Some of us might be feeling, that feels a bit personal. That feels a bit intimate. Ooh, I don't think I like or I would want that. Just notice what's going on within you at the moment. A longing to be seen, to be really known, or does it fill us with a level of fear? I suspect there's an element of both. But imagine what it would do in our marriages if husband and wife were able to say, I see you. I see you too. Imagine what it would do in the relationship between parents and children, if there was that exchange, I see you too. Imagine what it would do in friendships. I see you too. Imagine how it would feel if the person sitting next to you turned to you and said, I see you, and you replied back, I see you too. The room feels heavy, but it's what God says to us. It's what the Holy Spirit is whispering over our lives. It's what he's longing to draw out from us, for us to say to him, God, I see you seeing me. But it's something that he wants to flow out amongst his people. So we're just going to sit for a moment quietly, and we're going to allow that fear and that longing maybe to rest within us. I'm not going to ask you to turn to the person next to you. For those of you that are thinking, Where's she going with this? I'm not going to do that. What I'd like us to do is to notice what is going on within us. I'm not saying that you can't say it to each other. I'm just not going to make you do it. Let's just close our eyes just for a moment. Let's have a minute or so before God, allowing the Holy Spirit to bubble up what we're noticing within us as we ponder what it would feel like to be seen by the people in our church family and for us to be able to say to them, and I see you too. I see you, the whole of you, your past, your present, and your future, your experiences, your passion, what you bring, your pain, your strengths, your weaknesses. I see you. You are valuable to me. Lord, we want to ask you to forgive us when we only see what's important to us in other people. Lord, we want to ask you to forgive us when we don't have the time to notice those around us, to really notice and see them. Lord, we want to ask your forgiveness for when we don't notice what you're doing around us, or we hear you saying something and we just move on. Lord, we confess that we're not always good at noticing, at seeing, and we ask you to change us into people who can notice and who can see. Lord, for those of us that feel fearful of that level of intimacy, of kind of being seen and known, Father, I pray that you would speak into those places of fear and push the fear away. And Lord, for those of us that are longing, our whole being cries out to be noticed and seen. Lord God, would you fill those empty places and help us to be a people to reinforce your work. Lord, help us to relish, enjoy, celebrate, you see us, and help us to experience you seeing us. Help us to know that you do that. Amen. Those of you that have followed the passage in your Bible know that I've missed out a chunk, those last few verses. And I just want to land really on one final thought, which is the way Paul concludes the letter by affirming the call for us to love one another. He says, greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I'm not going to ask you to kiss the person next to you either. What he's really encouraging us to do is to treat all other believers as friends, as family, as loved ones, to see those in our church family the way God sees us, as favoured ones. So bless you.